colonies fleeing this. You get some families who come to America, and the reason that they come to the New World is because the church was going to take their kids away from them, raise them as Catholic. You can see why they would come to be in America is a pretty strong anti-Catholic sentiment. And when this happened to their parents and their grandparents, well, men were sent into galley slavery. What's galley slavery? To row the boats. They had some that were rowed, still rowed back then, not the big ocean, but they still rowed them. Some of them. The borders of France were sealed. Huguenots couldn't get out. Many did. It's hard to seal borders. Think about that. To keep them in, France became legally a prison for Huguenots. Protestantism was heavy in the middle classes, and this caused a real problem for France because everybody said the Protestants tended to be the best people, people who had businesses, who controlled money, and it hurt France. Many of the best people from France came to America. Let me say this to you, that there came out in the 60s and 70s. Textbooks, though they're thinning out now, in the 60s they were very popular, which presented the American Revolution as a class struggle according to the Marxist paradigm. The Marxist type class struggle. Which is silly, because the leaders of the American Revolution were not the proletariat, they were the land-owning aristocracy. But one of the reasons why, listen to me, one of the reasons why the American experiment worked, this experiment of freedom, when nobody thought it would work. One of the reasons why America pulled it off against all odds was that very many of the people who came to get the thing going from England and from France were some of Europe's best people. You understand that? Some of Europe's... France lost some of its best people to America. England lost some of its best people to America. Why? People of high religious conviction, people of education, people of influence, people with... As opposed to Australia. Now, it's true America got a lot of criminals. A lot of Europe would transport their criminals to America, and a lot of indentured workers came, so there was not, but I'm saying there were a lot of the people in America who came who were of the lower classes, you know, out of, into the jails, and people would sell themselves into 7 years of indentured slavery to get transportation to the New World. So I'm not saying that the majority of people who came, of the Europeans who came to America, were of the higher classes. I'm saying is that the leaders of America were the higher classes. Some of the best people, many of them France. As opposed to Australia, where Australia started out as a penal colony. And the only leaders there were those who were there to keep the criminals. And that's why Australia came along, I think, in some ways late in developing a what we call high civilization. Yes.
Was one of the reasons that maybe we got some of the good people. I'm wondering is it because it was hard for them to get out and you had to have a certain status?
Well, you had to have money for one thing to travel.
To leave.
You had to have money to travel. And you had to have the courage to do it and the reason. And people who are very uneducated often they're too afraid to get out and do it. Mm-hmm. So they were people of means, of education, of integrity, and of courage. Which is not bad stuff to start a new country with.
Was it hard for them to get out?
Yes.
Militarily?
Yeah, and out of France it was. Had to sneak.
Let me ask you a question. Why would they want to keep them in if they didn't want them? Why not send them all to America?
Because, remember John Calvin? John Calvin, his thinking was having a great impact. He wasn't in France. They didn't want them leaving, but their influence continued from outside the country. They want to get rid of them.
But if they shipped them off to America, they wouldn't have to worry about them, would they?
Well, yes, they would. Because of family ties, of communications, the ideas would cross the borders, as they have at John Calvin.
Did you say that one of the reasons that the ones that came to America were higher status because they were all Protestants?
They weren't all Protestants. I'm saying many of them were. They were some of the best people. One of the reasons they wanted to keep men was they had their money. So many of the people who had money, had capital, were leaving, and they wanted to keep men. Why does Russia want to keep the Jews in? They want to go to Israel and I'll let them go. The answer is that they represent, Russia's image would suffer. These people have talents and skills and means that they want to keep. Why was the Berlin Wall put up? See which side the mines are on, which side has the barbed wire. You see, the Berliners, the communists put up the Berlin Wall. What they said was, is to keep the undesirables out, which is ridiculous because they put all the landmines and the barbed wire on their side. It's really funny. It's on their side. Why? Because that wasn't why the Berlin Wall was put up. It was put up to keep people in. Why would they want to keep people in? Because you see, East Germany, if they had not put up that Berlin Wall, would have lost. They lost so many of their best people to West Germany. They just pulled out by the thousands. People with the doctors, the professional class, the college professors, the school teachers, people with money. They were leaving Germany by the thousands. Any way they can get out. So that's why the Berlin Wall was put up. One of the reasons why in Miami, the first generation of Cubans who came when Castro took over were people of stature, people who improved the community, who improved neighborhoods, who did not contribute to juvenile delinquency, to the crime problem, because they were the best people. The professional class, the people who had, some of the best people left Cuba and came to America. People think badly, but the first bunch it wasn't like that at all. You understand that? Because this is the nature of this thing. What happened in France? And this is the beginning of America, and it helps us understand some of the sentiments which were expressed in the founding documents of our country. Okay, let's move on. Let me look at this paragraph. The period of repression, 1685 to 1789, terrible. Repression continued until after the French Revolution and the reign of Napoleon. It's a long time. Look at that. How many years between 1685 and 1789? How many years is that? It's a century. For a century. Think about that. The Protestantism in France was cruelly suppressed and repressed for a century. Only after the French Revolution did the Huguenots enjoy some toleration, as misspelled. Because of the extended persecution and repression, the Protestant faith is comparatively weak in France. Protestantism has still been weak in France. Why? Because they simply were killed. Think of that. What percentage of the population was Protestant? 1/10, a tithe of the people. The Reformed Church in France, look at this statement, underline this, has been called the Church of the Cross. Some have said that no church in any other country has suffered as did the Huguenots in France. In fact, it has been suggested that the persecution of the Huguenots in France was in many cases worse, in many ways, especially in numbers, worse than the persecution of the first century and second century and third century church by the Roman government. Modern France is not proud of what it did. stories, the heroism. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. We could tell stories. I could tell you stories that make you so you couldn't eat your lunch. Some of the, it's interesting, some of the great, if you read these stories, I wish I had time to go into it, some of the greatest martyrs, some of those who stood with the greatest courage were the women. Some of the greatest women in the history of Christianity died for their faith in France. Many of those stories have come down to us, the accounts of them, tremendous faith and courage. Well, we come now to the Reform movement in the Netherlands. Before our break, let's remind ourselves of the setting. The Netherlands included Belgium and Holland. All this area in here, though they've been divided since. So let's see. Yeah, let's use this map. Here it is. This is the Spanish Netherlands, this is Belgium here now, and Holland. This is the Netherlands. Why is it called the Netherlands? For the same reason that northern Germany was called Transylvania, Latin, across through the woods. What's the Netherlands mean? This isn't going to cost you anything. But what was the point of, what does nether mean? Away, farthest away. It's an old, the netherest was the farthest away. What was the point of farthest away from what? What's the point of reference? Rome. Rome. Farthest away from Rome. Here's the point of reference. In other words, you have this? Farthest away from Rome on the European continent. That's what it means. I see you learned something today. And it was ruled by Spain, the most powerful country during part of this period. What was the policy of the Spanish rulers? Charles V, remember him? 30 years more? He was succeeded by his son, Philip II, and Philip was a fanatical Roman Catholic, and he established a cruel policy toward Protestantism in the Netherlands. Keep in mind, Spain controlled this. And Protestantism had taken root and grown there, and just as in France, Philip said, I'm going to get rid of this business. The Duke of Alba, who was the regent, legate, if you can go by that title, the Duke of Alba was the Spaniard who represented the Spanish government in the Netherlands. And so Philip II in Spain made the policies, the Duke of Alba carried them out. If you go to modern Holland and you want to insult somebody, the Duke of Alba has become a cuss word in Holland. Kind of like Hitler. He is not real well loved in the history of Holland. Well, in the political realm, the policy was to crush the freedom of the Netherlands. Why? Because the Netherlands were beginning to become independent. They wanted to be independent, kind of like the Swiss in some ways, and Spain was not going to have that, so it was a political repression. The policy was to bleed the Netherlands for the benefit of Spain. Spain needed cash to fight its wars with England and France. And so they were going to simply use the Netherlands as a source for capital, bleed them dry. And the religious policy was simply to crush Protestantism at any cost. The problem was that the Holland of the Netherlands was one of the places that people fled to from their home, the Protestants fled to. Everybody was in Holland. Holland, why? Up until this time, now learn this and we'll take our break. Up until this time, Holland was the most enlightened. Holland was a place where there was more intellectual freedom than there was any place else in Europe. The great Erasmus, we're going to meet later, was from Rotterdam. Interestingly enough, Holland at one time became the leading port. Holland today, by the way, is the shipping center of Europe as far as just pure tonnage. And remember, it was the Hollanders who who set up a lot of the trade colonies in the upper east in Canada. But what I'm teaching you here is that because of the comparative, underline the word comparative freedom in the Holland at this time, Protestants from all over Europe of all kinds, Lutheran, Anabaptists that we have not talked about yet, Reformed, they all came to Holland because they were more free. Interestingly enough, the Anabaptists who came to America, we know them as the Mennonites. Okay, so when Philip II and the Duke of Alba set out to crush Protestantism, they got their work cut out for them because a lot of Protestantism there, and a lot of sympathy with the Protestant movement.